Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Achtung Mall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Mall voicemail show, part one. I've got a really good part two to come for you straight after this edition. I'm going to post that straight after this one goes online. But a big welcome, dear listeners, to Achtung Mall in the wake of yesterday's disastrous, I think disastrous is the right word, 1-0 loss up there at Huddersfield. Disastrous because it's been a terrible week to be a Millwall fan. We got beaten on Monday, Easter Monday, at Rotherham. By far one of the worst teams we've seen in the division for a long while. We've contrived to get beat 2-1 at Rotherham. And yesterday, despite some moments, overall, some wayward defending and some wayward decision-making on and off the pitch put paid to the Lions in front of a magnificent 500-plus that went up to Huddersfield in very adverse circumstances, train issues and all sorts yesterday. I take my hat off first and foremost across this disaster season to the Millwall support, because we're much maligned, dear listeners, and we often find ourselves being misrepresented and mistreated, in my opinion. And the fact that 550-odd people are still prepared to go to Huddersfield yesterday in the wake of some pretty lacklustre, spineless performances by a Millwall squad that is lacking certain basics in football. We'll come on to the management and the administration of the club, I'm almost certain, in this voicemail show today. But the fact we've got 500 people still willing to travel that far on a difficult day. And I notice season ticket sales, no matter which league we're in, it's looking increasingly like it might well be League One after this poor week. I think the fact that we've got such a foundation of support for our club is wonderful. It's amazing. I don't think the club often deserves the support that it gets and the forgiveness it often gets. Anyway, I'm waxing lyrical already. I've not even got into today's content. We've got a lot of content for you today, listeners. I'm going to start off with a conversation I had earlier with John Shipman, our Northern correspondent, of course, about yesterday's match. I wasn't actually able to follow it in any great detail. I was at a social event at the birthday party yesterday for one of my nephews. And I did manage to get a stream of it on the phone, but as you can appreciate, I'm sitting outside with it on my phone like some kind of adolescent Kevin the teenager trying to stare at my phone whilst people are talking to me. So I only really caught the most basics. I've had a look at the edited highlights today. I've got some grasp of how it went yesterday. But to begin with, I wanted to talk to John because he was there, and I always think it's invaluable to speak to somebody who's actually at the game. So let's kick us off with this edition now with John, and we'll go into the voicemails thereafter. Thank you to everyone that's contributed today.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge welcome on the show now to our Northern correspondent, it's John Shipman. Well done for going up to, well, I suppose it's more across to Huddersfield in your case, John, but I managed to get a watch of the game after a fashion on my mobile phone. How was it to be in the ground? It looked like a pretty poor show overall.
Yeah, bloody terrible.
See you again in a few weeks, eh, Nick? Thanks.
That's the show.
Yeah, I'd love to put a star on it, but it was just shocking. It was two bald men fighting over a comb. It really was. They were no good.
No, I could see that.
There was plenty of chances, but it just went a bit nuts in the second half. First half was fair enough, I think. We had a couple of chances. Obafemi missed one from very. I don't know how he missed it. It was easier to score it than miss it. From my point of view, anyway, I don't know what the TV replays are showing, but I was staggered by that one.
I think he got a deflection. I just watched the highlights reel this morning, John, and the Obafemi, he kind of takes and turns in the box and fires it into the. It actually hits the back of the Huddersfield defender. So I don't know what it looked like in real time. When I watched it live, I thought, blimey, he's missed badly, but he actually took a deflection there. So measure of bad luck. But the worst one, I thought, was the Cooper miss, which was, I don't know how he missed that, because he's a tall bloke and he's got a plum corner presented to his head in front of goal. He managed to put it over the bar.
First time all season he's got three at a corner, and that was the result. It was disappointing. I don't know. I've never been able to win a football, so there's probably more skill in that than we all think, but it looked like a sitter to me. The Obafemi one I was referring to was there was a crossover from Longman to the far post.
Honeyman tries to chest it in, didn't he? I don't know how that was missed either. So it was three great chances, actually. Although you got to balance that with the fact that I thought Huddersfield went close and probably should have scored a better team than Huddersfield. Would have had a couple at least themselves, because there were some, they worked some chances. Which I said we were going to go up there swinging, John. Apparently, so I suppose that would be the first half. It wasn't much swinging in that second half. Mate.
Unless we define swinging as taking your only centre forward off and replacing them with the only bloke who was putting crosses in the first place, and then taking him off as well, because why not have 11 beyond the ball? I'm a massive Harris fan, Nick. I really am, but that second half, those decisions baffled me. We had a Marku on the bench who clearly can't be fit, otherwise surely he would have come. There is a lot of knocking Harris for the basic football, but I think it's worth just noting that this isn't Harris' squad. Well, it is Harris' squad, but it's Harris' squad from 6-7 years ago. Harris would have more strikers. The fact we've only got one fit striker at the club tells you a lot about the recruitment. He wants a couple of wingers. Yeah. He wants a couple of strikers to play his way. In fairness to Harris, he's come in, he's picked up the poison chalice, said, right, I'll do it, and he's having a go at it. So you can't knock him, I don't think, for the state you find the squad in today. If we've got anyone who can finish a chance, if we've got anyone who can hold the ball up, then we're probably not in the mess that we're in now. And it's been poor recruitment since the summer for me that's got us in this mess. This mess which probably now, and this is going to sound incredibly defeatist, but it probably ends in League One now for me. Because you look at the teams beneath us, they're scratching out results and there's a bit of fight in them, and I don't see that from us as we stand today. And hopefully Tuesday night, I prove me wrong, we'll smash Leicester as is the Millwall way, lose to Huddersfield, beat Leicester. But at the minute, it doesn't feel too promising.
Leicester on Tuesday, then Cardiff next Saturday. I mean, we keep saying must-win games, John. I thought this week was a must-win week. You know, going to Rotherham, poorest team by some distance. We saw, anyone that saw any of the Friday night game, they playing Plymouth. And, they're a poor side. And how we've contrived to get beat up there is one thing. And yesterday was a must-win, and at least not get beaten anyway. Let's put it that way. And we can try to lose to our two relegation rivals in a week, which is, I agree with you, mate. It's relegation form. There's no dressing it up. How we'll perform against Leicester on Tuesday is I actually don't know. Part of me still wants to believe in the romance of the Millwallness and all that kind of thing, that we'll produce a performance against Leicester, because they're one of the biggest teams, if not the biggest team in the division, apart from Leeds, perhaps. The Neil Harris bounce has kind of fizzled out. We've seen in this short term of management, I do take your point, John, about the squad. But we've seen both the highs and the lows of Neil Harris's management almost condensed into, what is it now, about a 6 or 7 game programme since he's come back. Because we had that initial run of good results, but now it just seems to have really gone to pieces. We're losing games, the pressure situation again seems to tell on this squad, John. I think that's been a major flaw.
Yeah, going back very many years, we've never won the games we should win. So put us up against, it's probably that underdog mentality we've had for a long, long time. Put us against a Leicester, a Leeds own, that sort of thing. We get a performance, probably because they're coming on to us. We play against a team that we should win, going back years and years and years, and we never win those games. Never, ever win those games. Any of us who have been around the block a little bit could have seen the Rotherham result coming. It wasn't that much of a shock to us all, I don't think. And so what worries me isn't the Leicester game on Tuesday night. I'm not worried about playing a decent side that's going to come onto us and we're going to defend for 90 minutes. We know what we're going to get. I'm more worried about the Plymouth game, where they're going to turn up, possibly needing a point to stay up, 10 men behind the ball, and we just won't have the nous to break them down.
We don't seem to. If we do have any nous, it's not really being shown. I mean, I'm just looking at the substitutions. You've mentioned already Obafemi coming out of the game on 69 minutes. The BBC have got it as Norton Cuffey coming in. We've clearly struggled for striker injuries, but using Ryan Longman as a striker does seem a bizarre decision. I've got to be honest. When there's maybe only a half fit Imarco, I question why he's sitting on the bench if he's that unfit. If he can't even produce 20 minutes for a young player, you know, he's 20 something, isn't he? So you'd think we'd have some time. And then there's also Roman Esse, who I know is this enigma because we never see him. But I'm not saying he's the answer, John, but you'd have thought that's an obvious straight like-for-like replacement. But we seem to shut up shop, and I think that was a fatal error.
Yeah, I think he reached the point that you said earlier of it's a don't-lose game. I think that probably is where it got. So it did look that Huddersfield could have played. You know, they had some chances as well. It looked like they could play all day and night and not score, and then of course, the last minute corner comes in, which is usually our bread and butter. We can normally sort that sort of stuff out. We just didn't. The striker situation. I come back to the recruitment. I know we've got, as you say, Essie and Amaku on the bench, but coming back from injury, we've got a Loney, 5'6" Loney as the only centre forward. Last summer, we went out and bought, let's be honest, a known injury prone player in Nisbet. We couldn't sign him the first time around because he was injured. We went and got him again. Sure enough, he's injured for the season.
He's injured.
With the view to replace our current striker, our current number 9, who, with the best will in the world, is often injured. And sure enough, he's injured for the season. There's some gaping wounds in that squad that weren't addressed properly in the summer. It doesn't make it Rowett's fault for me, but it's not a lack of investment. We've clearly put the money in. It's just that I don't think we've invested in the right places over the summer, and it's cost us now.
This comes back to the... there's a lot of comment online, listeners. You'll be reading the same stuff as we are, John and myself. I mean, everyone's seeing the same fingers of blame being pointed at various personalities. But for me, I agree with the points you've made, John, because for a club of our size, and we see other examples in the Premier League, namely in Luton, but also to some extent with... with more money perhaps, but Brentford and Bournemouth with shrewd acquisitions and sales at the right moment. That has to be the roadmap for us, but we just don't seem to have the first clue on how we actually set about becoming the kind of club that buys talent cheap or finds it cheap perhaps and sells it expensively. That comes back to the management of the people that actually run the club, and that's the likes of Steve Cavanagh. And Alex Aldridge has become like a hate figure online, but those areas, the business side of the club has to be where we've got to raise our game, because everything begins and ends there. Really, that's what we've seen.
Point would be Sarkic for me. We were investing a lot of money in him. Apparently, £1 million plus in Sarkic.
Yeah.
Did we need £1 million keeper? I'm not sure we did.
Yeah.
And Sarkic for me, he's He's not error strewn, but I saw him You'd have to forgive me going off at a bit of a tangent here. But Neville Southall earlier in the week, I saw him talking about Jordan Pickford. And someone said, well, he never does anything wrong for England. He's never let us down. And Southall said, yeah, but he never wins you games either. And that's what I see in Sarcic.
No,
does the basics, right? But he doesn't pull out the Bart style saves or even the Foley style saves. Yeah,
no, the big he moment.
Won't save one
no,
that you.
No.
A lot of the goals. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I don't think a club of our size investing a million has got it to invest in a keeper of that quality. And for me, you talk about Alex Aldridge being a hate figure. Well, if we go down to League One, I don't see how we're going to afford to carry someone like that. If we're a League One outfit, surely we've got a chairman and we've got a manager, and the manager is the one who goes out and signs the players. Surely.
I would agree. I would agree. I mean, this experiment in trying to be a kind of a continental style head coach and whatever his title is, Alex, I think he's director of football operations or some convoluted title like that. It reminds me of working for your local council when you get inflated job titles for basically people that are there to make sure the bins are removed and the potholes are filled in. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's got to be some cutting of cloth according to your means. Presuming that we're going to go down, John, I'm agreeing with you because I don't see the spine. I don't see the decision making at the moment.
Let me make that absolutely clear. It's not something I want in the slightest. I'd absolutely love us to go and win these games, but I'm just,
I think it'll be a financial disaster, the actual financial disaster. So, no, I mean, I'd love to see us do a job on Leicester somehow and maybe scratch and kick our way through to 3 points against Cardiff. So let's all keep our collect. And we're still within our hands. I mean, the table isn't as unkind to us as maybe this week's disastrous performances could have been, because we've still got a two-point gap between, I think it's Birmingham, third from
I just look at the teams behind me and I see Birmingham have got Rowett in as new manager, so they're in the midst of their new manager bounce for me. Plymouth are stringing a few results together. Sheffield Wednesday have been bang on form since they beat us, to be honest. They've been looking very good. They've really dragged it out. And so that's what worries me. It's the teams behind me. They've eaten into the buffer and I don't know. I'm probably sat here nervous and grumpy due to what happened yesterday, but sorry, you were saying if we were to...
Well, if we were to go down, would we keep Harris or would we look to make a complete new start? I'm not sure I trust listeners. I'm not sure I trust Millwall with complete new starts. We've that was Joe Edwards, but it wasn't really, because you've still got the same characters in place at the Den running the show. And, you know, there's a certain... I think a complete new start probably is a much deeper clean than just whoever's running the first team. And part of me thinks that maybe a Neil Harris style approach in League One might work a day. But we shouldn't have a lot of young talent coming through. I mean, squandering's our middle name, John. We've squandered a 7-point buffer this week. And I don't want to see us squander that young talent that is clearly there in the under-21s. Maybe that's where the faith of the club is going to be put if we do get relegated. I don't know.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Joe Edwards' experiment was not a bad one. I mean, I know it didn't work out, but he was trying to do too much with a squad that is entrenched already and have been there a lot longer than he would have been, and he was barely much older than some of his senior players. So really, really tough gig to take on. You're right. I mean, maybe something like... I don't think we'll ever see Joe Edwards again, but, something like that with a clean slate would be the way to approach it. We'll see. Tuesday night, Leicester. Saturday, Cardiff. I'll be at both games, listeners. So let's keep our fingers crossed, Jones. It's still in their hands. We can still survive. We're talking doom laden.
It would be us all over to beat Leicester on Tuesday night, wouldn't it? Can't beat little teams, but Leicester turn up and we nick points off them. They've got their own pressure on them. They're in the midst of a title fight, so get to 45 minutes and they still haven't scored. Who knows what could happen? Frost.
That's more like it. The eternal optimism, Shipman. The eternal optimism's coming back already, mate. Let's get along.
It's the optimism that got me across the Huddersfield yesterday. And that's what I'm clinging to. I think if we're going to do this, I think we pick up the results in unexpected places rather than looking at the the Rotherham, Huddersfield,
Plymouth. Where you might imagine.
That's just not us, is it?
Welcome to 50-odd years of following the world, dear listeners. Just to reinforce that point, I mean, well done you. I mean, not easy to get across the country. And it wasn't an easy away day yesterday. The trains are up the creek, and I think it was, you know, no mean feat that we got nearly 550, nearly 600, I think, went up there. But that's quite some achievement. So I'll give a big shout out to everybody that made their way up to Huddersfield yesterday. John, I'm going to let you crack on, mate. I really appreciate you taking time on your Sunday to talk about such a depressing subject, mate. And we'll be back after the messages with some of our voice notes following yesterday's debacle. So a big thank you, John.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Achtung, Mailball.
Hiya, Nick. Steve Morton here, just returning from the debacle at Huddersfield. Back to sunny Bolton. Unbelievable, mate. Christ almighty, just when you think it can't get any worse. Bit of perspective, I thought we played quite well first half, or certainly was the better team. Two great chances. What the fuck is Hanneman doing trying to chest it in when he just needs to nod it in with his head? Absolutely appalling. And then Cooper, mistiming his jump for his header, where he should have scored there. A bit similar to the header that won the game at the end. Different pace on the ball, but fuck me, he's got to score into an empty net. And the story of our season continues. As I say, I thought we were okay. First half, second half, not at the races. And then a real, I have to say, love the guy to bits, but Bomber, your game management was fucking appalling. It was absolutely evident we needed substitutions. Didn't do it quick enough. And then when he did, to take Obafemi off, who, all right, he had a knock, but to not put Emaku on, who's the only striker-type player we've got with any pace, which they struggled with. I mean, I don't get it. Where's the risk in putting him on for 5-10 minutes? You know, he's not fit, yeah, but 5-10 minutes? Well, why is he on the bench if he can't do that? And, you know, just put him up front and let him do what he do. You're not telling me that would be worse than putting Longman there? Fuck me, Bomber. That was such a bad decision. And then it just invited them to come forward and the inevitable happened and we are deep in the shit now. Look, let's write off Leicester. Anything would be a bonus, but we ain't getting anything against Leicester. So Cardiff is a musket win game and sadly, the crowd are turning. I don't think anybody's confident we can get a win. It is still in our hands, you could argue, but it looks inevitable that this year of shit, starting with JB dying, is it set to continue? I don't think even of voicemail from Bobby T could cheer me up right now. All right, Nick, all the best. Bye now. Sorry, Nick. Now I'm doing a Bobby T with a second... second message. I don't know if you can cut and paste this in without playing again, but the thing I couldn't say there in the time allotted was, fuck me, how bad were Huddersfield? Just like Rotherham. Jesus, watching them last night. Terrible side. Huddersfield, appalling side. And we, you know, all right, we couldn't nick the win, but we, how do we lose? How do we lose the game to them? And this is what just makes you think, oh, Jesus, we must be candidates to go down now. And as I say, I think that the passing of JB, we've just gone from and racked a ruin. They just haven't. What a fucking legacy for that poor bugger, that the way the players have allowed us to get sucked into this absolutely awful. I do blame Bomber for today, but I think it's a bit harsh the way the fans are digging in out his football style and et cetera, et cetera. He's trying to grind out results. I get that. But that was poor today. He should have put Amaku on up front, and even Mayer on the wing. You know, have a little bit of a you know, go at them. You know, not go gung ho, not go too open. But you know, these managers are so risk averse, aren't they? You know, so safety first and don't lose rather than look. Sometimes roll the dice and you know, win a game, but. No, not looking good, mate. But, yeah, looking forward to listening to your show with the other comments, but a lot of very upset and frustrated fans right now. All right, keep up the good work, Nick. All the best. Bye now.
Big thank you, Steve. Yeah, got a lot of content for this show today, listeners. Like I said, speaking to John earlier on, I was actually trying to follow the game on my mobile phone, which I managed to get a stream on yesterday. And there was also a few beers in, and it wasn't, you know, that wasn't helping me any at all. So I won't go terribly deeply into the game yesterday. I didn't watch it all in its entirety live, like I like to when I'm doing these shows. So I'm going to rely heavily on the content, such as Steve there. Great stuff from Steve, and got plenty of others to follow on. But your point, Steve, about game management and our struggles in big situations, sometimes against lesser sides. Certainly in this week, Rotherham, and then Huddersfield yesterday. But it's been in other games across this poor season. I think it's just Neil Harris. He looked a bit shell shocked. Neil actually in his post match interview with Mill TV. I know he's taking a lot of flack online, and there may be rights and wrongs to that. Those criticisms, probably going to hear some on this show, but I do. Think that he feels it, and you know he's hurting like we're hurting. I think he's embarrassed and let down by a squad of players that just fail in big situations. Many times on these shows, mentioned this idea that you get it in American sports a lot. Are the players big time players? Do they step up to the plate or to the field or whatever for big situations when the pressure's on? Some players can, some players can't. We have a collection of players, in my opinion, who are honest, who lack depth and sometimes technique. But most crucially of all, you can have all of those flaws to your game, but are you big time? No, they're not. They fail in big situations. We've seen it this week, particularly two must not lose. It's not called a must win games, because they were must not lose games, really. Preferably win, but must not lose. And both times we've contrived to squander those big situations. Who knows what we're going to do against Leicester in the week. But it's been a folly of Millwall for a long while now. The origins of that, others will speculate. So, yeah, I'm going to play the content of this show one after the other. Like I've said a few times, where can I interject with anything hopefully intelligent? I will. But we're going to just roll the voice notes one after the other for this particular show, as I didn't get a sight of the whole live game. So big thank you there, Steve Morton. Next up, we're going to go with Bill Slack, and then we'll roll on from there, dear listeners. So big thank you to Steve. Let's have a listen to Bill.
Hello, Nick. It's Bill Slack. I usually leave it a couple of hours before I ring in, because I've made a bit of a knob of myself in the past, ringing in when emotions arrive, but what the fuck was that? That was an absolute fucking disgrace on so many levels. The performance was a fucking disgrace. How Harris set him up, the selection, the approach to the game, the sitting back for the last fucking 20 minutes, hoping to hang on for a fucking point, and inviting them on. The lack of imagination, the lack of flair, the lack of attacking intent, the fucking sheer averageness of almost all of our fucking squad. I just can't fucking deal with it, you know. Harris, right? That's 1 point in 12 now. 1 point in fucking 12 with Leicester to come. So it could be 1 point in 15 come Tuesday. It's so fucking easy to criticise anyone after a result like that, right? And I know he's only got the fucking squad of players, he ain't got had a transfer window, all this fucking nonsense. But I tell you what, Neil, how about you don't go on local radio and fucking tell, as you call us, the fan base, how about you don't fucking tell us that we're going to come out fucking swinging, that there's going to be a reaction, that we're really going to fucking go for it, when you fucking know that you're not going to. You know we're not going to go for it. You know that we're just going to fucking go up there and play the same fucking shitty football, the same percentage football, the same fucking shit that we've watched. Losing to Rotherham last week was the worst result that I have seen in many fucking years, right? And it has been compounded with this week by that result, that approach, that game. We are fucked. We are fucked with this bloke in charge. We were actually royally fucked by the geezer who fucking decided that Edwards could do the job. We have been fucked from pillar to post as supporters this year by the people that fucking run the club, by the players, by all of them. They have done nothing but fucking embarrass us all fucking season. And I cannot get my fucking head round how we've ended up here. Well, I don't know how we've ended up here because our recruitment's been shit for fucking donkey's years. We don't fucking spend the money we need to spend the money to compete. You know, it's the failures at Millwall were systemic. It's about the people that run the club. It's about not having the money to compete. There's fucking hundreds of reasons. You look at who played today, right? You tell me how many of these players get in any other fucking championship side, right? Mitchell, Longman, Watmore. I'm going to say it. Saville, Cooper, Danny Mack, Alan Campbell. I'm going to include him. Wes Arden. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fucking players that wouldn't play for another championship club. That's where we are as a football club. We've got players who can't fucking pass the ball. We've got players who can't fucking shoot. We've been so fucking badly let down by this club. It's just not true. It's hard to know where we go from here. What we get absolutely tonked on Tuesday, and we're going to turn up on Saturday against Sunderland and put in a fucking performance. I can't fucking believe the fucking state we're in. We've been so fucking badly let down. I'll speak to you soon.
I'm interjecting already, listeners. I was going to run a few messages together, but I've got to say, I really, really agree with the sentiments that Bill's come out with there. You're going to hear a lot of content like this. I've got lots of messages from people, voices that, you know, we all don't agree with everyone else all the time, but I think we all fundamentally give a big shit about the well-being and the future direction of Millwall Football Club. I know I do. I know Bill does. I know all the voices that come on these programmes. We all do. And I make you 100% right, Bill. Averageness is a great word because it contrasts with Millwallness, whatever that might be. Millwallness obviously often is averageness, unfortunately, listeners. It has been embarrassing to watch because there is just such a lack of fundamental spine within this squad of players, assembled by others. And I think a lot of the messages are saying the same thing. I'm going to say it now. The administration of our football club is where everything starts and finishes. We have to be, to have any kind of future in this modern game, which sloshes around with cash at the top end and trickles little crumbs down to the likes of us, the peasants that sit at the foot of the table. We've got to be able to find players with talent that have slipped through the fingers of other clubs, polish them and sell them. at the right moment. That is the only route to success for a club of our standing. Other than that, we're going to be drifting into League One, League Two, shuttling, you know, that kind of universe. We may well finish up there this season. There still are five games to go, and you know, the angel on my shoulder saying, don't write us off just yet, Nick, because we've got a big game on Tuesday night. Who knows how that's going to go. But no, I absolutely endorse what you're saying there, Bill, about the average quality and the fact that the administration of our football club has let the fans down. People have backed this club all season. The biggest backer, of course, is James Berylson. But let's also get it right, because I think often it's easy for those that run our football club to hold us in a little bit of contempt. But people have backed this football team with nothing to really be given back this season, particularly, and previous seasons, through thick and thin. And anyway, I've interjected when I was going to actually run one or two messages one after the other. So let's have Barry Moon. We'll go with Glyn Horner after Barry, and then we'll third in the sequence, Jim Hackett. So Barry, Glyn, and Jim.
Hello, Nick. Sorry to trouble you, mate. It's Barry Moon here. Long time no speak. But thank you for your kind words from my son back in October. I really appreciate that. We do miss him badly. And another Millwall player supporter gone. But on today, on these last few matches, I never wanted Neil Harris back. I thought it was a backward step by the club. You know, why not just put the coaching staff in charge for a little while and see how it went? Because he's taking us back. And today again, what's he done? Striker off, defender on. I'm sorry, I just think we're just going backwards. I'm hoping we've got enough. We can just get two wins somehow for our remaining games to stay up. Because I just fear for us if we have to go down. And this man's taking us down. Whoever thought it's a good idea to bring Neil back as manager must have been off their bloody heads. Yeah, he's great for the club and wonderful, but not as a manager. He's out of his depth now. I'm sorry, mate. Anyway, hope you're well and look after yourself. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Hi, Nick. Glyn here. Well, yeah, I'm seriously losing faith in this team at the moment. I mean, let's be honest, dominated the game, created plenty of chances to win it, and just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. When are we going to stop, like, relying on Cooper for free kicks and corners? He goes up, he fouls one of their players, he gets a foul given against him, and the ball is given to the opposition. It's bloody pointless. The best thing he can do right now, and also he missed a goal from a yard out, the best thing we can do right now is send him up, tell him that we're never going to aim the ball at him, and just to make himself a target for the defenders, and then aim the ball at someone else, because it's the only way we're going to get anything from these free kicks. He is absolutely 100% ineffective in attack now, and has been for a couple of seasons. This isn't a recent thing. It's been going on for a while. Apart from that, I think we did plenty enough to win the game. So, you know, you've got to look at the strikers and you've got to say they're not doing their job. The attackers are not doing their job. You know, really right now, what else have we got to lose? Let's give SA and Emaka a chance, right? Emaka's back from injury. SA's been fit. They can't do any worse than what we've got already. Yeah. Christ almighty. All right. Come on, you Lions. Speak to you soon, mate.
Well, Nick, Jim Hackett here after a night contemplating what went on yesterday. I think looking back on the game, it was a shocking game. I think the fact that those players were paid to play football is a crime, really. They were absolutely shocking yesterday. I'm not just talking about the Millwall team, I'm talking about both teams. The conditions were terrible, but I think anybody who's played football will have played in that. Whether we won the toss or not, I think if you've got the wind behind you, to go with it first half. I don't think holding out for an open, they don't do something, and then obviously gambling on the second half will make any difference. Because I tell you what, when we turned round and played with the wind in the second half, our passing was absolutely dire, and it was embarrassing to watch two professional football teams playing like that yesterday. I was really not just disappointed, but I was disgusted with what I was watching. I thought our lads are so much better than that. Having had a taste of what good passing looks like, you think they'd have had something out of it, but no, there was nothing there. If I go through the whole team, I can't think. I suppose Leonard Tanganga, they looked all right on the right side of the defence, the left side of the defence. Jake Cooper, he just looks like an accident waiting to happen all the time. He's got something going on there with his confidence. He's just not up there. And Danny McNamara wasn't right yesterday for that. I don't know if he's believed his own publicity in that he had a good couple of games when he came in at left back. And now he started doing the things that got him sort of dropped in the first place on the right-hand side. He's now doing them on the left. So I don't know what Neil Harris can do about that. But the left side of the defence yesterday was pretty poor, I thought, all the way through. And then in the centre of the park, Longman, half-decent first half, put two or three good crosses in. But second half, he was anonymous again, chasing long balls. He doesn't seem to have control when he's running. I think he can get the ball when he's not running. When he stood still, he can control it all right. But when he's running, he seems to have terrible ball control. So he wasn't there. Honeyman was his usual self, I thought, nice and busy, throwing himself into challenges, closing down, doing all the good things that we know he can do. Saville and Billy, again, Billy, a little bit off the pace for me, but I suppose when you're getting dropped, pulled back in, dropped, brought back in, it's a difficult one. But Sav, I thought, was tidy yesterday, did everything he had to do. And of all the team in there, if we got any leaders, not that we've got any, but if there was one who could sort of step up and make himself a leader, it's a Sav. And then when you get forward, I thought Fleming yesterday was probably the worst game I've seen him have for us. He was anonymous. He wasn't anywhere close to the ball. Everything that went round him, he either gave a foul away or he lost control or he tried to do something that was a little bit too much. So really disappointed with him yesterday because I do like Fleming. And then over for me, I thought he was a passenger yesterday. Created nothing, gave us nothing. And then when he did get the ball anywhere in the last third, he just either gave it away or held onto it too long. And for a lad who's playing in the Pro, attached to a Premier League club, you can see why they've let him go out on loan, because he's not going to get anything in their team. And overall, I thought it was just a poor performance, but it was a poor performance that we should have just got a point out of. If I'm looking at the point of difference between the two teams was Zorba Thomas. The fact that they've got a player at Huddersfield that can deliver time after time after time, quality balls at set pieces into dangerous areas, both sides for corners, both sides for free kicks. He just looks like he's got a great delivery, and he did. And it was just one of those great deliveries right at the very end when it really mattered, straight onto somebody's head. Why haven't we got a player like that? Because he doesn't contribute a lot away from that, but he doesn't need to. That's his game. And it's probably more annoying that he's a London boy. He was at Boreham Wood when we played him a couple of years ago in the FA Cup. So it's not as if we didn't get a look at him. But Huddersfield obviously took a better look at him and bought him. And now they're reaping the rewards of a player that can put the ball in the sixpence and sort of get them points that might just be enough to keep them up. As for us, five games to go, we've got to win two of them at least and then give ourselves a chance. But at least we're not dead and buried just yet. And we go on to Tuesday night and it will be just like us to nick someone against Leicester. But let's hope so. So come on, you Lions.
Thank you, Jim, Glyn and Barry before Glyn. Jim, I mean, I make you right about the likes of Zorba Thomas, the quality where it counts. We do seem to lack and have lacked quality for a long time. Where we do get some quality, and I think we probably do in some of our younger players sat on the bench, we don't trust them to take the field. But allowing other players like Thomas and others that you know we've had over the years to slip through our fingers is endemic at Millwall, and we keep coming back to the same poor administration and structure of the way our club functions, because that's the only route that towards any kind of success that we're ever going to have, and yet we seem to fail at it repeatedly, and we try and do it on the cheap. I just want to mention Glyn's point about Jake Cooper. I think actually Jim mentioned it and others have mentioned it. The decline of Jake Cooper is quite an alarming thing. Now, none of us in this life ever know what goes on in somebody else's head in their life, or you know their general kind of you know their well-being or whatever way you want to put it. But the decline of Jake as a physical and his confidence, his mental resilience, has been quite something to see. Not a pretty thing to see. I take no pleasure in this at all. We all know that when he goes forwards, he's going to get penalised for something, and we also know that he'll rarely get decisions in his favour because of his size. He's a giant of a man. If you've ever been stood next to him, he towers above you. But he does seem to lack confidence in himself. What the cause of that is, I don't know. The Joe Edwards period seemed to take a lot out of him. The idea that he's going to start playing out from the back probably freaked him out, for want of a better way to put it. I do believe that we are probably going to be better off with somebody else in his place in that back line at the moment. I really hope that Jake can turn his game around. I think he can be a weapon if used correctly. And maybe he's been misused for a while now. But as I've said already, no one knows what goes on in his world. But he does seem to be, a pale shadow of the player that we saw a few years ago. I'd love to see him turn that around, however. So, yeah, big thank you there to the boys. We're going to go now with John Rankin, Lawrence Binney and Matt Richards.
Evening, listeners. Evening, Nick. John Rankin just calling in after that. Again, a dreadful performance up at Huddersfield. Last season, when we lost the 3-1 lead against Blackburn, and they came back and beat us 4-3. I've never really witnessed such a capitulation, such a sort of laying down and rolling over and giving up kind of attitude as I witnessed in that second half. And when Burton Diaz scored that goal to make it 3-2, I said to my son, we're going to lose this. You know, you can tell after years of supporting Millwall, you can just tell something happens to the psyche. It's kind of written in the fabric of SE14 and SE16. You know, it's in the concrete where just something happens and it doesn't matter what time period it is, what players are playing, what the situation is, something happens and we just roll over. And I still can't understand it. I don't think I ever will. And there was that game against Blackburn. And then there was the away game against Norwich where we just offered nothing and the crowd got on top of Rowett and Rowett had a go at the crowd. And I said back then on our WhatsApp group, we're going to get relegated this season. And I think we are. I really do. We haven't got the type of players that can really step up to the plate apart from one or two. But, you know, football's a team game. There's 11 players. Our main men are number 10. Well, I mean, you know, we should have took the 15 million last season, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. And he was a midfielder that scored 15 goals, which is right up there, you know, statistically. But this season, our main man has just not shown up. We haven't got a striker as such. We can only play hoof ball now, and we've got no one to hoof it to. We are propped up by a defender in Japhet Tanganga and Ryan Leonard. Danny Mac plays well, but he has massive errors in him from time to time. And Jake Cooper is struggling, man, big time, you know. Our midfield, George Saville's a hero, but Billy comes in and out and Casper comes in and out. And then that's it. You got Georgie Hunterman, who's running around, trying to, you know, make an influence. But that's pretty much it as far as I can see. You know, the rest is all kind of transitory, journeyman, championship players picking up big salaries. And poor old Neil, I think with his, you know, what's he doing bringing on two substitutes with 30 seconds to go or whatever it was? I mean, come on, mate, you know. I'm speechless, really. I've never really witnessed such a kind of, I don't know, such an inept, incompetent display, you know, where we've got absolutely no midfield. We've got no one who can take possession of the ball and look up and play a decent pass. We look hurried. We look worried. We've got no creativity. And I just think we're going to struggle. And I think we are going to go down. I can't see us getting anything against Leicester. And I can see Cardiff beating us. And I think it's probably going to come down to the wire at Swansea. And I think we'll end up going down. That's what I honestly believe. The evidence is there, right? There's nothing there which shows me any difference. I can only have an opinion on what I see and what I feel as a Millwall supporter over many years. And it's all there. We're ready to go down. And I fear for the club. I really do. I mean, let's face it. If we remain up in a championship, we've got to have 20 million quid put in the pot. You know, we can't spend £1.5 million on a Dutch creative player in their second division or whatever it is, or their lower league of their first division. I'm not too sure. I mean, to me, Holland's just Ajax. That's it. Expect him to run the roost. I mean, he's obviously not, he's not of that benchmark. So there's not a lot to be positive about, I'm afraid. All we've got is the supporters. We are the club. We got the name and we got the badge. And us supporters have got to stick together. Remember why we support Millwall and possibly look forward to some derbies with Charlton and Leighton Orient next season. So on that sour note, go you, Lion.
All right, Nick, it's Lawrence Binney calling in after Huddersfield 1, Millwall 0. Fucking furious. I think that has to be worse than Wigan last season. It was worse than Rotherham last week. At least with Rotherham last week, you could say we, if not created chances, but fashioned opportunities with a sort of chaotic game plan. Everything today was kind of set up for us to do well. Huddersfield looked nervous. The fans were on their back constantly. There was a real sense of dread and desperation throughout that Huddersfield team. And with the wind, and Harris prefers to play on the back foot and use those long balls, those long diagonals, it was all set up for us to create chaos. And we did that for about 10 to 15 minutes in the first half, where we looked okay. A sort of similar kind of approach to Rotherham, but slightly more forgiving because Huddersfield are a better side. Albeit on that showing, not by a great deal much. But that second half, I want to talk about Neil Harris first. There's been a lot of talk about, well, he's been away for a few years. Has he developed? I think we can say kind of categorically now, no, he's not developed. There wasn't even actually any evidence of the positive signs of Neil Harris's philosophy. Creating chaos, hitting teams on the break, hitting teams hard and fast, if a bit brainlessly. It just wasn't very much. There certainly wasn't anything in that second half. And those final 15 to 20 minutes especially were an absolute disgrace. Shutting down shop against a side that had basically no attacking threat and inviting them onto us with the wind, causing the ball to swirl about in the air. Was just a recipe for disaster. We created the conditions of their victory in the end. We said, yeah, come and have a go, and they did, and they scored. And we had no answer to it. We couldn't get the ball back against a side that can't keep the ball themselves. Dreadful. I also want to, I feel like I want to single out, I don't think there are many players who came through that of a lot of credit. I think defensively we did okay at times. Danny Mack did all right. Honeyman worked hard. But I want to single out a couple of players for criticism. I think Zian Fleming, he's not a Premier League player. He barely looks like a table championship player, if we're being honest. He just doesn't affect games. We had an opportunity early in that second half where he basically all he has to do is play the ball 10, 15 yards in front of Obafemi to chase. He's got like the whole length of the pitch pretty much to chase, and he underhits it. if he puts that in front of Obafemi, he's clean through, and he can't play a simple ball. He's meant to be our primary attacking creative threat, and he can't play a simple ball. And then he did fuck all apart from that, really. Obafemi just looks a bit lost. Find it difficult to blame him too much, but he does. Yeah, he has a difficulty staying on side, especially, I think. And Cooper, Christ, I mean, what's happened to him? He looks dreadful at the moment. And it's not just sort of kind of calamitous at the back and making mistakes. He fucks up half of our set pieces going forward. You know, there's a greater than one in two chance every time that we have a set piece that, you know, the ball won't even reach the box because he will foul someone needlessly. You know, everyone talks about how much he gets fouled, but he's also just a fucking clumsy oaf. Yeah, dreadful. It's looking extremely tight down there now. And our next game is against the Leicester side. They are desperate for points. Yeah, so we could be in the drop zone come 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, which is scandalous. I mean, we should be clear. We should be celebrating now, basically being safe. Yeah, fucked off. I don't really see how you can make a case for Harris at the moment. But, you know, not in his club. Even if we get relegated, he'll be in charge next season. So, joy. All right. Thanks for listening to me rant, Nick. Cheers. Bye.
Oh, Nick, Matt Richards. What is it? I don't know. 20 minutes after the game's finished, 15 minutes. What a load of shit. I heard you went to some sort of family event, didn't you? You were lucky. Wish I could have come. We're getting what we deserve. If we can't beat Rotherham, and we can't, well, if we lose to Rotherham, sorry, and we lose to Huddersfield, then, well, if there's three worse teams than us in the division, then honestly, I don't think I've seen them now because we were shit today, especially second half. You know, first half weren't too bad. We started tidily. We had chances, and obviously we should have had a penalty. But we don't take our chances, and then we just don't do enough in the second half, and we've only got ourselves to blame. Players aren't good enough. Tactics aren't good enough. You know, you think through that team. Obafemi's not a Premier League footballer. I don't think Zian did enough today. Longman, just he always makes the wrong decision. All he can do is just run. He's just like Forrest Gump, but he's got as much footballing brain as Forrest Gump as well. Honeyman, I thought Honeyman played well today and Sav, but Billy didn't play well. Denor didn't play well when he came on. You know, I suppose it's these teams and Rotherham where you've really got to kind of go for it. And, you know, but I mean, no, it's not Harris's game. And, you know, it did well for him when he first came in, playing like the Millwall players, you know, your Danny's, your Billy's, and just battling, and that did enough. But sometimes that's not enough, is it? Sometimes you've got to, you know, Huddersfield were awful. And you can tell they lacked all, they had no confidence whatsoever. There for the taking. It's a cliche, but it's there for the taking. Anyway, five games now. To think, you know, if we go down and it's just, I mean, this time last year, I think we were fifth or sixth. I mean, talk about falling from great heights to where we are now. It's just an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. And the whole of the club really take responsibility for this. Because if we go down, it's disastrous for the club. It's just, anyway. You know, we've got to regroup. Got a game against Leicester, flying. We've got to see if we can get something out of that. That's what we've got to do. We've just got to get a point from somewhere. We're kind of get a point at the moment. So we've got to get a point from somewhere. And then we've got to take advantage of our couple of home games against Cardiff and Plymouth. And that's enough. But at the moment, it's not looking good. And it's just so depressing. Anyway, that's it. Cheers, Nick.
Cheers, Matt. Big thank you also to Lawrence and to John before Matt. Longman, I've written down Longman. Longman equals Longman. That might be my new nickname for him. I'm going to go like the Bobby T route, dear listeners. Yeah, relegation's going to be a disaster. I've just been referring back to John's message, talking about games against Charlton and Orient. I've written also Stockport and Burton Albion, because that's the level that we'll be at. Exeter City, dear listeners, they will bring probably a busload up from the West Country to fill our away end. You know, I mean, it's easy to be flippant, and sometimes gallows humour is all you've got in these situations, but to descend back into League One does not fit anyone's fielded-in game plan. 17,000 crowds recently. Just can't see that happening in League One, dear listeners. The old group on weekend won't look quite as attractive, I don't think. Maybe the Pigeons will have a celebration shit, and that will cause the cleaning team, such as there is at the Den, some angst. Do make you're right, Lawrence, about ZM and the clumsy oaf is Jacob. I love that expression, the clumsy oaf. I haven't used it enough in my life, and I'm going to start trying to use it now, Lawrence. So big thank you to that inspiration. Zian, who knows? As you say, he is meant to be our attacking creator, to go French on your listeners. It's gone missing. Any road, there we are. We're going to play out this part one episode now with Dave Collins, followed up with Chicago Joe, and finally Bobby T for this edition. I'm actually going to do a part two. Tony Mundy has sent me in a message, which probably is longer than the average, so I'm going to try and do that as a part two. So this is part one, closing out now with Dave, Joe and Bobby. Big thank you to everyone who submitted content for me today in the wake of yesterday's debacle. You get quite a lot of stuff. Really appreciate any material that people want to send me anytime. Really appreciate it. Do give me a shout on X. You can send me a voice direct message on X, and I can record those. Or if you want to exchange mobile numbers, we can do WhatsApp for each other, voice notes on WhatsApp. Probably easiest a lot, really. But do give me a shout. You can email me on achtungmillwall@gmail.com, or you can give me a shout on X, and we can sort things out from there, @achtungmillwall on X. So anyway, over now to Dave, then Joe and Bobby T. And I'm going to say a big thank you to you, dear listeners, for tuning into this disaster show today. Do keep your eyes out for part two with Tony Monday. And I might even do something with Neil later on. So until then, those editions. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.
You all right, Nick? Dave Collins here, mate. Hope you're well. Probably not after watching that shower of shit. Yeah, fucking hell. What a fucking abysmal second half that was, yeah? Harris, what the fuck is he doing setting the team up to defend for the last, well, fucking 45 minutes, really? You know, when you are playing downwind like that and they are playing into a fucking gal and they can pump a ball up, throw long throw-ins in that are going to roll up, make things difficult, it's easier then for hold the ball up in attack than it is for us, yeah? Right? That was just a fucking shit show of a performance, right? Oh, fucking Harris, fucking hell, yeah. Having said that, the fucking, our dim-witted fucking brainless players, yeah, who can't even fucking hold a ball up themselves, you know, we didn't offer fuck all, absolutely fuck all in the second half going forward, yeah. It was just about defending, defend, right? And the fact that they scored when they did, they could have scored in the 70th, the 50th minute. We got what we fucking deserved, because when you set yourselves up to take a point at half-time, which is effectively what we've done, yeah, you're going to fucking come unstuck. And that's exactly what we did. That's another 3 points down the fucking pan. That's 6 points down the pan in a week. What are we on, 44? Probably 5 more points, if we're lucky. Looking at that running we've got, that will get fuck all against Leicester. Sunderland, yeah, and Swansea. I don't think we're going to, might get a point at Swansea last game of the season in utter desperation. I can't see us getting more than 5 points. That takes us to 49. That's not 50. That doesn't keep us up. Good night, Vienna. Good night from me.
Joe from Chicago. Very jealous you had something else to do this, well, this afternoon, evening. I almost said morning, forgetting that I'm on different side of the Atlantic Ocean. I hope you just heard that alarm. There was a fire truck driving by, because we need to sound the alarms on this team. The lack of heart is... Jake Cooper, that header. 1-1, fine. I mean, the goal felt inevitable and just... Ugh. I hate that this is where we're at right now. Ryan Longman was fine, but he shouldn't be your go-to striker at the end of a game. And Michael Obafemi, he is not good. Was this one goal now since he's been from Burnley, moved from Burnley? This feels close to rock bottom, and Leicester are coming up. Shit.
Nick Carr, Bobby T here, maybe for the fucking last time. I am fucking done. Millwall, fucking cunts, Harris's mugs. No trust on the bench of S.A. and Mackle. What the fuck are you doing? It is over. We are down. Fuck all of you. Love you, Nick Haas. Great podcast. Achon and Millwall. I am finished. Millwall are down. Fucking bollocks. No bite. Good night.
Hi, Nick Hart. Bobby Chu here. I just want to really end it, right? Look at the scenario now, right? Yeah. We lost Gary Rowett. Joey Edwards come in. And after that, Daniel Harris came back in. Could you imagine if we go down and Gary Rowett's Birmingham send us down? We're 2 points off now. Forget Leicester and Cardiff, right? Huddersfield, Rotherham, no backbone, no Harris. At the end of the day, Kavanagh, Aldridge, whatever you say, right, Nick Carr, I've realised now if Gary Rowett gets Birmingham to safety and we go down, shocking for the club. Good night. Take care, Bobby T.
Bobby T here, Nick Carr. Well, no one saw that coming. And let's be honest, I told the whole fucking world thought we're going to lose. I told the podcast, I told Lions TV, I told whoever we were going to beat. The whole world thought we were going to lose today. Neil Harris, Sam Neil Harris, where have you fucking been?
Nick, hope you're well, Bobby T here. Just forwarding a message from the beginning when Gerrard got sacked and I was praising Harris. I'm probably going to take it back now because... I think we've all been mugged off, basically. They found out Harris and we're going down. Oh, what was I thinking? Bye for now.
Achtung. Millwall.